Good afternoon, brethren. I hope you have a wonderful Sabbath. Welcome to our guests. We were happy and thankful to learn from Mr. Register that the lives of our brethren were protected these last days from the firestorms that were raging in California. We live in a dangerous world, a world of unrest, a world of trouble, wars, and finally, a world of fear. Every day, we pray that our loved ones would be protected from the many bad things that can happen. If you would please turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Even if we live today in peaceful states where we are, we hear on a regular basis about the many fearful things that can happen almost everywhere in the world. In a very sharp statement found in Luke chapter 12 and verse 4 through 6, Jesus Christ made abundantly clear that there are things that we should not fear, but also another thing that we really should fear. So let's turn to Luke chapter 12. And we begin in verse 4. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. That was verse 7. In this message, we will see that even though fear can be negative and unproductive, there is a positive version of fear that produces actually a lot of good fruits. Among them, we will see the protection from bad and evil things. We will see the appreciation of forgiveness, and we will see also the knowledge and the experience of the love of God. The title of this first split sermon is The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. One of the characteristics of fear is to become spiritually paralyzed. When we come to a point where we don't know what to do, because the options are so few, and we just come up with a dilemma, where there is no satisfying solution. We are frozen, we are paralyzed. There is no action because we find ourselves in a no-way situation. Then this is when Psalm 46 and verse 1 comes to mind. We remember this psalm that we sing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2, this is Psalm 46. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. And the Hebrew word yare, translated by fear, conveys the idea of being frightened. We will come back to that a little bit later. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, we find a Greek word that expresses a negative kind of fear. Paul says, this is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And here we have the Greek word deilia, which means cowardice. Cowardice, timidity, fearfulness. and is consistently used in a negative manner. Now, we have seen several forms of negative fear that many may refer to, especially in this time and age. We may still wonder if there is such a thing as a good fear. The Word of God has a lot to say about a good fear. We have seen that already. So to begin with, if you would please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. If we go back for a moment to the social cell of the human family, we remember that things work within a family partly because there is a fear of correction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 says, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And live. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And as our children grow older, they continue to learn how to follow the clear rules of the family, feeling less and less compelled to fulfill them as a burden of some sort, but more and more simply out of love. Also, the rules are clear. There is no dilemma. There is no impossible choice, just a good choice with rewards or a bad choice and a penalty. Nobody is frozen. Nobody is paralyzed. There is a constant encouragement to act. And to act for the good. Likewise, as we enter the social cell of the company we work for, we learn the bylaws issued by the corporate, how things work, the do's and the don'ts. Some of us had several managers in their personal career. Each of them was certainly a different individual with their own specific way to address daily issues. What is interesting through the years is to learn how and when to approach them physically and spiritually. In particular, as we deal with different persons of a higher authority, we learn how to repel the bad fears away from us and rather to focus on the good kind of fear. So what do I mean by that, the good kind of fear? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. There is a good form of fear. So let us read what God tells us about the good kind of fear that we should express more and more toward him. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So we understand that the fear of the Lord has a purpose. It is not something that we need to express because we just need to stay quiet or stay fearful forever. The purpose of the fear of the Lord is to know God, to understand his character, his motivation, his sense of justice and peace, his love and his mercy. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin." Even both Hebrew words may convey the idea of being frightened. Actually, the second one is yira, is different from the first one that we see in this particular verse. It applies more often for the concept of reverence and respect. So Moses said, "Do not fear, don't be frightened." That's the first verse, the first word. For God has come to test you, and that is fear. That's a different word. That's express more the concept of reverence and respect. His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. With these words, we can better understand what the verse 20 really means. Moses said in substance, do not be afraid, for God has come to test you, and that the reverence may be before you, so that you may not sin. This is what we continue to do. We learn the fear of the Lord. In Psalm 34, King David tells us this. Come, you children, listen to me. This is Psalm chapter 34 and verse 11. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from the speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And we know this verse, we sing them as well. Every disobedience in front of a police officer can have very serious consequences, as we may expect. Likewise, God is way more merciful than any man. We need an appropriate and healthy fear of the consequences because of disobedience to God's laws. Times of temptation, tests, trials may happen when we forget the excellent reasons for obeying God, when we forget that there will be very serious consequences to disobedience. In the New Testament, we find a word translated by fear in the context of the fear of the Lord. The Greek word phobos means reverential fear. The Vine's dictionary puts it this way, phobos, as the fear of the Lord, is not a mere fear of his power and righteous retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him. The intent of this fear of the Lord, once again, is positive. It is healthy, motivating, and productive. In the book of Acts, Luke takes note of it, and he says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, this is Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So we recognize that this component of the fear of the Lord is fundamental. It is good. It is profitable. Indeed, without the fear of the Lord, how can we take his laws and commandments seriously? They are beneficial in so many ways, and we cannot afford to be weakening our respect and our reverence for God, who saved us by the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. The laws that govern the universe are of spiritual and physical natures. And just like we cannot cheat with the laws of physics that keeps our feet on the ground in our everyday life, we cannot afford to cheat with the spiritual laws of God. The author of Hebrews reminds us of this in chapter 10 and verse 26 through 31. This is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26 through 31, where he says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We are being spiritually fed and cared of with a lot of attention by our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. This is why we respect him, we revere him. All his laws bring great benefits, and this is where we want to be by taking them seriously. We want to be in harmony with him and with the spiritual laws that govern the universe. That way only we can expect to reap the amazing benefits that this harmony produces, not only in this life, but more importantly, in the life to come. Now, the children of Israel sinned, we know that. No adult man that came out of Egypt qualified to make it to the promised land except two, Joshua and Caleb. Some people pretend that forgiveness can be found in the New Testament. But look at this passage in the book of Psalm 130. Psalm 130, 130, and verse 3. And 4, where it says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared." This is Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4. Now we see the connection between the fear of the Lord and his purpose. We know the fear of the Lord because there is forgiveness. If there would be no forgiveness, there would be no hope. We would just be waiting for the end of our lives, and after that it would be the nothingness forever. How sad would it be? But because there is forgiveness, because there is salvation, there is hope, and there is consequently a respect and a reverence due to God. There is this wonderful fear of the Lord, a good fear, producing a reason to change, a willingness to repent, which is another gift from God. Therefore, the fear of the Lord produces an eternal gratefulness. Earlier this month, an interesting book was published in France, actually, by a five-star army general. His name is Pierre de Villiers. He was the former head of the staff of the French armies and fleets. And the title of his book was What's a Chief? What's a Chief? Qu'est-ce qu'un chef? In other words, how would you define a leader? And at the light of the situations and the unrest that occurs at this very time in France, I don't know if you have heard of that, you know what he concluded? He said, you need to love the people you serve. You need to inspire friendship and love. That's coming from a military high authority person. He said, authority is neither cold authority nor lukewarm softness. Authority is the one that makes one rise. It's the quality that makes one rise. Now, this is not about the signal of the song leader who says, if you would please rise. This is about a deep motivation from the inside, based on rightful principles that moves us into action as a positive answer to that particular authority. This is something authentic. This is something that is not fake, but is real and true. As we have seen, the purpose of the fear of the Lord is to understand the knowledge of God, to understand more and more who God is, his qualities, his character, his attributes, and how to grow in love so that we may live and act more like he does. If we do these things, we do not need to be terrified anymore because of God's judgment. The Apostle John explained this when he says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 through 18, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, he says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, Paul writes this. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." This is Romans 8, chapter 15. "But you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So these two verses show us that God has no intent to leave us in a life of torment and slavery. It is true that the Christians do surrender. They yield themselves to God, becoming bondservants or slaves for him. That's true. But the Apostle Paul makes it clear in verse 15 that we have read that our God is not abusive. His character, his virtues are so far away from the behavior of any slave driver. You know that these men have an occupation about putting terror and torment in the minds of these poor individuals. That's not our God. There is a common misunderstanding in mainstream Christianity also, where some individuals will explain that love casts out not only fear, but the law. Well, that's not true, obviously. John tells us the opposite when he confirms in chapter 5 and verse 3 of the same letter, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, where he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So one cannot be more crystal clear. The fear of the Lord is connected to the law of God from Mount Sinai. And this is so important that God wants these laws to be written in our hearts. I think we can be really thankful to have these laws already written in our hearts. Otherwise, how could we have any fear of being caught? You know, even if nobody can see us stealing, if that would happen, God can see us, whatever it may be. Because we say we love God, we respect him, and what the Bible says, we revere him and his word, we do what he told us to do. We grow in that deep love, that deep respect for him. We must never lose our respect and appreciation for God. Rather, we should walk above and beyond the simple fear motivated by the anxiousness of the punishment, and be transformed with confidence and boldness through the love of God. And finally, with the fear of the Lord, there are wonderful promises that are going beyond any dreams that a human being could have. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23, we read again about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23. "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." So this is a promise from God, and when we are protected from evil, we can be really, really thankful for it. The fear of the Lord that is taught in the Bible has nothing to do with a paralyzing terror that would prevent us to take the necessary steps we need to take for changing our lives. Rather, the fear of the Lord is a key element that will definitely help us to change what needs to be changed. The fear of the Lord already changes our perspective of ourselves as our lives continue to unfold and as we learn to humbly walk with our awesome God. Times of temptations may arise on our way, but the fear of the Lord will remind us the serious consequences of disobeying God. And finally, the fear of the Lord motivates us to know God more and more, and by following the example of our King and loving Savior Jesus Christ, to become more like him, to become more like our awesome God, so that one day we can be with him, and from that day on, forever and ever.